The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, I don't think we're going to talk about that game that we just had, though, because that was pretty ugly. And we're not at the Pinstripe Bowl. So it's a shortened version of the Blitz. Let's do it. It's a Friday Friday.
Shall we begin?
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend. Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, 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 fun. Looking forward to the weekend.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on, sort of. For a Friday Friday, welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. Well, at least part of the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. No A.J. today. He's on the injured list after ruining his voice yesterday. So Josh Jordan, good enough to fill in half of the Moneyline team and not what a texter calls him, which is the bitch end of the Moneyline team. That's not fair. Josh Jordan here. And Harrison, write a package to screw up the intro of the Blitz on your first try. So you did a good job. Congratulations. It's not easy. So do you have Twitter?
Yeah, you can find me at Harrison the Prod.
Ah, I don't follow you. I guess I should do that now since you're actually producing the show. It's a Friday Friday. It's going to be a short Friday Friday. We're going to be here until 4 o'clock when the Aggies take on Oklahoma State in the, whatever it is, Texas Bowl. I think it's the Advocare Texas Bowl. It's the damn thing at NRG Stadium. And, yeah, so pregame starts at 4. So we thought we'd do a show a little bit early today since everybody else decided to take the week off, except for apparently me, AJ, and Josh, and Harrison, and Tyler, who's out there. Everybody else is gone. So what's going on, Josh?
Nothing much, man. You're right. It's been a ghost town up here this week. But it's, you know, it's Christmas time. Got some great games this weekend. I'm curious to see if Bill O'Brien pisses me off and plays his starters. We'll see what happens there. I don't know. We'll see. I think it's kind of coach speak at this point. But, man, great holiday season. How was yours?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. So, you know, I mean, I did a lot of work. I actually kind of kept up with Sports Map and some other stuff. But it was nice. Got some drinking in, which I'll be doing again tonight, so there's that. But otherwise, pretty quiet, and just looking forward to things really picking up here. We got the two semifinal games tomorrow, which will be interesting, and we'll know what's up with the NFL. It's kind of a sad time of year, to be honest, because last regular season NFL, which means fewer and fewer games each week, and we still got some bowl games left, but you can see the end of football from here, and this is where I get depressed.
Me too. Fantasy football, the year-long leagues are pretty much done, unless you're one of those psychopaths that plays in Week 17. So, no, I'm feeling you. It goes by so fast.
Yeah, you're like Joe Lenardi is once you get the field set for the tournament. You know, once football ends, you're kind of useless.
Yeah, pretty much.
You disappear.
Like Santa Claus. I only have a certain part of the year where I'm useful.
You're really good in August.
Yep.
When people are leading up to their drafts. And then each week, you know, you kind of get less and less important as people's teams start sucking. And by now, it's kind of like, okay, we'll see you next year, Josh.
Pretty much. Yeah, you can see the numbers fall on the fantasy football rankings and the waiver wire stuff. As, you know, people are being eliminated. Less and less people want to check out that content. So, you know, that is what it is. But when draft season comes around, I start cranking out the mock drafts. So when we get around March, that's when I'll start being relevant again.
Well, yeah, I forgot you were a Kuiper, too. So you're kind of a Kuiper version. And Matthew Berry. If they had sex, you'd be their kid.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's not picture that, though.
Which one's a woman in that? I'm just kind of curious. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. We're just going to have a little fun here for the next hour and a half. And talk a little sports, talk a little bleep, talk a little non-sports, drink a little beer. I brought, this is what I do when people come in and work when they're not supposed to, is I give them some of my favorite beer, or one of my favorite beers. So This show brought to you courtesy of the Nuke the Whales by Eureka Heights.
Appreciate it, man. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you. This is a 2019 version, and fortunately, we're just splitting one small can because it's potent. Otherwise, might have to cart you out of here.
It's all right. I've been practicing for years.
All right. So I want to get to the championship games. I don't know how we're quite going to do the clock here. Or are we going to go to break here and then come back? Is that the... Okay, so we're going to do a long segment here. Let's talk about the two games tomorrow, because LSU may or may not have its stud running back. 13.5 point favorites. I just think the talent discrepancy between these teams is more than that. I know Oklahoma can score, and LSU's had issues with its defense for a lot of the year, but I also think that just talent-wise, they're way too good for Oklahoma. And as much as I think Jalen Hurts could keep them in the game, I don't think I'm going to play it, but man, inside of two touchdowns, I like LSU. Unless Oklahoma can go and find whatever it was that Auburn did to keep them to 23 points, I just don't see them being able to outscore this team.
Yeah, this one's kind of tricky. I'm probably, if I was going to bet it, I'd probably take the points with Oklahoma, so I'm on the other side. I think LSU's going to win pretty convincingly, but man, 13.5 feels like a lot to me. I think a lot of it goes back to, you know, common opponents, watching how LSU played Texas and how Oklahoma played Texas. So I think they'll cover Oklahoma, but I don't think they're going to win. We'll see how it goes. So I'm going on the other side of that one.
It's interesting. I saw a column that said, LSU should rest their running back. I don't think in a playoff game you rest anybody. I mean, if he's not good to go, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if it's like, okay, he can go, get him out there. Because you can't mess around with these things. These aren't the meaningless bowl games that we're watching everywhere else. I mean, you're playing for something here. And, you know, I think if he's 90%, you put him out there. I don't think you mess around with it. But it'll be cool to see what Joe Burrow can do against that OU defense. I mean, all he does is complete passes and make basketball shots, apparently. I don't know if you saw that video. But there was a shooting contest that they were doing with Oklahoma, and Oklahoma was winning. And Joe Burrow did what he does throwing footballs. He went 10 of 12.
Man, I haven't seen that. I'll have to check
that
out.
Yeah, you should check that out. It's pretty cool. And I think the other game might be, at least on paper, one of the best matchups of the year. And I like Clemson, but I've liked Ohio State all year. It's kind of hard to, you know, I know that Ohio State's played tougher opponents, but, you know, Clemson has just been so good. And what a lot of people don't realize is that Trevor Lawrence, after that slow start, since week 9, 20 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Oof. So he's playing really well, and they've got a fantastic... I like the fact that both of these teams have a great quarterback and a great running back. So it's not just... And they've got good receivers. But I think the defense is going to be the difference. I think Clemson's defense is really good. I think they win it outright. I don't know that I'm willing to give up any points here, because I think these teams are pretty equal. But I do like Clemson in the other game.
Yeah, I do too. It's just, you know, Trevor Lawrence has been there, done that. So, you know, gives me a little more confidence in them. But this one, I would not be surprised if either team won. I mean, really. But I'm going to give the nod to Clemson just because of the experience.
Been there before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a huge, huge thing. And I don't know. We'll see how. I mean, Ohio State's done really well with a new coach all year, but it's a different animal. The stakes go up, and we talk all the time about there's pressure on coaches as much as there are players in games like this. We'll see how he handles it. But, yeah, two great games tomorrow. So there's also a Memphis-Penn State game, if you're into that. And then NFL on Sunday. And I like the way they've staggered these games. So when the Texans get on the field, they'll know whether or not they can be the 3 seed. Odds of that, of them being the 3 seed, are pretty low, because I don't see the Chargers beating the Chiefs. But stranger things have happened, and if for some reason the Chargers beat the Chiefs, suddenly the Texans have a chance to move up to the 3 seed. At that point, I don't sit guys. I play whoever's ready to go, and I do think there's a little bit of an issue there, because you've got to declare your inactives long before that.
Yeah.
But if they have a chance to get the 3 seed, you do it. And if you don't, then I don't want to see Watson out there, or Hopkins, or anybody that's going to be critical for next week. And the problem with that is you only have so many players on the roster. You can't sit everybody. But the guys who are your difference makers, which Watson, Tunsil, Hopkins, maybe Carlos Hyde, I'd like to set Duke Johnson too, but again, you can't sit them all. Otherwise, otherwise you can go ahead and play the other guys. They're fairly meaningless, but I don't want to lose any of those guys before next week.
No, I don't want to see any of those guys playing. I mean, remember Duke Johnson left the game injured. Tunsil left the game injured. Watson was clearly playing through an ankle or an Achilles or something. Hopkins has been sick this week. So all these important guys, they're not 100%. So I would rest him. Give yourself your best shot, 2 weeks from now against Buffalo. I think they can beat Buffalo, but it'll be close. So I would hold him out for that. I'm just, I feel better about that matchup. I really do. And I want to see him healthy. I just don't want to see another stinker like we did last year where they couldn't put any points on the Colts. I want to see some actual offense. And I was talking to Jerry the other day when we were filling in for Polillo. I just don't see how the Texans win if Watson doesn't have a good game. I just don't.
Well, and he hasn't had a good game since the Patriots game. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I think he did not play well against Tampa. The entire offense was useless against Tampa. They were fortunate that defensively they came up with all those plays, or that Jameis Winston gave them all those plays. I guess it depends on how you look at it. But, he's going to have to play better. I'm not worried about the Buffalo matchup as much as everybody else seems to be. I've seen a lot of the Bills this year, and they don't stop the run very well, which no. The Texans do pretty well. And if the Texans run the ball, it tends to set them up for everything else. And Buffalo's offense doesn't scare me. They've had a good year. But that matchup doesn't bother me. I almost rather see that than move up to the 3 seed and then say get Tennessee for the third time in 4 weeks. So
no, I'm with you there. Tre'Davious White worries me a little bit on Hopkins. I think he might be able to kind of erase him from the game. I don't think he's given up a touchdown all year. It was him and Gilmore that had done that, and then John Brown got loose on Gilmore and got that big touchdown and gave up, his first one of the year. So I think Will Fuller's got to play. They need that. They are a different offense when he is on the field.
I think it's time to completely punt on that guy and figure out what to do on offense without him. He's a ghost. He's not even there, and I don't trust him. And I don't think when your offense is that reliant on a guy who's never on the field, then you have a problem.
It's a big problem, and so. He'll be back next year, and he's going to make about $10 million. I feel like Kenny Stills is a really good number three, but maybe a slightly below average number two. And Fuller's a really good number two when he's right. But to your point, he might go out there and play a couple snaps and then limp off the field.
Yeah, he'll pull something. It just happens. Pick a soft tissue, he'll pull it. The thing about the Bills, and I say this a lot, when the Texans are at their best, they run the ball. They attack the linebackers with the tight ends and the running backs out of the backfield, and then that opens things up against the corners and safeties. And for some reason, Brian decides to change his game plan every week, and they don't do it. But when you're going up against the Bills, I think that's the game plan. Same thing you did against the Patriots, and it freed up everybody. And I think I like their chances there, and I don't really care what happens Sunday. I'd just as soon see A.J. McCarron do the whole game. If the Chiefs win, which I think they will, and if they do, we don't need to see any of these guys.
No, and what's the motivation going to be for the Chargers? They play in a warm climate. They're going to Kansas City where there's supposed to be snow showers. It's a meaningless game for them. That's when you see a lot of quit is at the end of the year when a warm weather team heads into the cold, in a meaningless game.
713-780-ESPN is your number. A couple people asking me my opinion on some hockey overs tonight. I have one that I like. The ones you guys asked about, I don't have an opinion on. But Toronto, New Jersey, over 6. Toronto's starting a backup goalie that can't stop me. And New Jersey can't score, but they'll score on this guy. And then Toronto will put up a bunch on New Jersey. So I like the over 6 on that. And the other game that I'm looking at is Islanders-Chicago under 5.5. Haven't decided if I'm playing that one yet or not. But for sure, the Toronto-New Jersey game. That's my one big play for the night on hockey.
What do you think with the Houston-Tennessee game? Vegas already has Tennessee as a 3.5-point favorite. The game's here in Houston. So I'm thinking Vegas is believing the Texans are going to rest their guys. When Jerry and I were talking about it, he thinks that number is going to go up significantly, maybe 6 or 7 pretty soon. He thinks probably now is a good time to fire on that.
If you like the Titans, now is a good time to fire. I'm on the other side of this. I actually think the Texans, with their backups, can win this game. And in part because how often do we see this? A team like Tennessee comes in having to win against a division rival the last week to make it the playoffs, and the other team beats them. I mean, it happens all the time. And I don't care how motivated or unmotivated the Texans are. They've still got enough talent on that team to win that game at home. And I think especially against a team that's going to be tight and pressing, and every mistake gets magnified if that game's close. So I'm actually on the other side of that. And I'm going to wait until right before the end. The one problem with that is if you think the Chiefs have any chance of winning and you wait till the end, that you're not going to get 3.5. That's going to go the other direction. But I actually think the Texans cover that. I think it'll be a close game, and if Tennessee does win, they're going to have to grind it out 20-17 or something like that. And I mean, I think that's the most likely scenario. So with 3.5 points, that means take the Texans.
That's interesting. I think Henry, you know, he should be back. I think he's going to play. A.J. Brown, I think, could go off. But to your point, I mean, we haven't really seen Tannehill in an important game like this in a long time.
No, and pretty much ever.
Yeah.
So, and that's one thing, too, is I think now that Romeo Crennel's seen him, I think you'll see them do a better job on him this time around. And I just think it's going to be tough. I think Tennessee should win, but I've seen this situation a lot of times, and it's really hard for the team that is coming in needing to win. And every mistake starts getting to every drop pass becomes highlighted. Every time your quarterback gets sacked, it's almost like a double negative play. And, you know, that makes it tougher and tougher, and teams get tight. And we'll see how they respond to it. They may not. They may just come in and play fearless because, you know, the reality is they might get in anyway, even with a loss, the way the AFC is shaken down. And, yeah, it gets back to what I was saying. You can't rest everybody, so the Texans are going to have a lot of their regulars on defense. There's just simply no way to sit them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, offensively, so, yeah, you go without Hopkins and Watson, but A.J. McCarron's a functional backup. You know, he can win a game for you. And, I don't think the Texans that are out there are going to play soft. I think they will play hard. They will try to win. So, yeah, I'm kind of on the other side of that. I'm not playing that game. I've only got, I think I've got 3 plays that I actually am going to hit this weekend. I like the Colts for one. But if I were going to play it, I'd probably go the other way.
What about on defense if they are going to rest some guys? You got to think maybe Roby won't be out there, right? Maybe McKinney because he's coming off that concussion.
Yeah, although he got cleared today. So I would say Roby would probably not play, maybe not DJ Reader, maybe not Merciless. But how many guys do you have on the roster is what the problem becomes there. So I think, you know, with Roby, you can obviously throw Jonathan Joseph out there because if he breaks, who cares? Mm-hmm. But the other guys, I think you don't have a lot. It's not like you have a ton of defensive linemen that you'll have active for the game. I probably go ahead and play Reader, maybe Merciless. Because when you get J.J. Watt back, Merciless kind of becomes, you know, he either plays better because of Watt or he becomes, you know, useless, which he's been useless most of the time without Watt. But I think I don't see a lot of guys you have to sit on defense because there's not many guys that if you break them, you go, oh, they can't replace him.
Yeah, maybe Gibson at safety, you know.
But Adai can step in and play. And, you know, same thing with Reed. Well, he gets hurt. Well, you got Adai still, and you still got Gibson. So, I mean, there's just not somebody I look at and say, oh, they can't live without this guy.
No, and it seems like they want to play. I mean, Gibson came out and said, you know, looks like, but players want to play. That's not strange.
As we said, do you play J.J. at all and try to get him some game? He's not eligible to come off until next week. So, and I wouldn't, even if he were. You get him ready in practice, and hopefully you get as much as you can out of him in the playoff game before he breaks and goes full Will Fuller.
What do you think about this, him coming back early? Do you like it?
Yeah, I do. What's the worst that happens?
You know, maybe he re-injures it, and he's out all next year. I mean,
if he re-injures it, he's got all offseason to get back. And what do you play football for? You play it to make the playoffs.
Sure.
So you're going to hold him out for next year when you may be 9-7 or 8-8 again. No guarantees. No guarantees he gets through the whole season.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. You put him out there. If he breaks, he breaks. And he's got all offseason to get ready again. and at least you had him for a playoff game. I mean, this is what you play for. You know, you don't play for the week one opener in 2020.
No, and he's not getting any younger, and I'm with you on that point. I think the only thing that concerns me is that he's coming back from this injury so much faster than Mercedes. So that, you know, I'm just kind of like, wow.
Yeah, but if he has the same injury, it's just going to be the same 3 months. So you throw him out there, and he makes such a difference for your defense. I think, to me, it's a no-brainer. You don't even think twice about it. Alan says the first episode of the new season of Letterkenny dropped on Christmas. It's absolutely amazing, like always. I think it dropped on Netflix today. I know it was in Canada on Christmas, so I will hopefully be watching that tonight at some point. Love me some Letterkenny. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. today. He's out sick. Josh Jordan filling in. So we'll either be here until 4 or 4.30. We're not sure which. We're just going to play it by ear. I don't know when the Aggie pregame starts. One report says 4, one says 4:30, so we'll just ride it out. We'll let you know. We'll either be here or we won't. It's like life and death. We'll either be dead or we won't be dead. I don't know. All right. You know what we will do, though, is since I'm not quite sure how this is going to play out, let's go ahead and do the Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day now. So, Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day. That's where Harrison punches the button. Okay. That's a problem. Have you ever listened to the show once? Apparently not.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I guess not. Okay, well, that's great for your career. Yeah, when you find it, just punch the button that says Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day jingle. That's what you're looking for. There you go.
The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
All right, I don't know who the bigger dumbass here is on this one, but I don't know about you, but I've never had a wife that I wanted to get a tattoo of for any reason. I mean, it's just, to me, there's like certain levels of a relationship. There's getting married, there's buying a house together, there's having a kid together, and then there's getting a tattoo, which to me, that's, you know, that's not happening. Doesn't matter. And so one of these guys is, I don't know if it's the husband or the wife, but I think they're both kind of goofy. But 40-year-old James McGraw in England wanted to get revenge on his wife because she gave him a shoddy haircut as a goof. She said, hey, I'm going to cut your hair, and then she messed it up. Apparently, they've been playing tricks on each other forever. So he took a picture of her sleeping on a plane, snoring, looking quite unattractive, and had it made into a thigh tattoo. And just for fun, he added like 3 extra chins. Because, I mean, I think she's like a 3.5 chinner, but there's clearly 5 chins on the tattoo.
So it's a big tattoo.
Yeah, yeah. So you can take a look at it there.
Oh, man, that is fantastic.
It's nice artwork.
It is.
But apparently, the wife, not happy. And they have been, they've been playing pranks on each other for 24 years, since they were 16. But she says, there's a line, and he's crossed it big time.
I mean, how many people are looking at his thighs? You know,
apparently a lot, because he's saying, don't know what her problem is. Everyone else seems to like it. says, can't stop laughing every time I see this. Some people, though, did take up for the wife. Says, I think it's both ugly and mean. My husband just showed me this. I would kill him, said another. Oh, great. Yeah, so you're a murderer.
Right.
Over a tattoo. Yeah, great. Wonderful. So, apparently they've made up, which, whatever. She says, I'll think of something to get him back, but it's going to have to be really, really bad to top that.
No doubt, but he's the one that has to live with that on his body for the rest of his life.
Believe me, I'm not judging, obviously, but I really wouldn't want that picture on my thigh, wife or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, But he went viral with it, and he's famous now. And
I guess. And the kind of fame you want.
I don't know. Everybody seems to think it was cool. I'm not going to express my undying love for anyone enough to ever get a tattoo, but it surely wouldn't be an unflattering one. I try to get one where they look better than they actually look, which, you know, it's not that hard to do.
Yeah, and it's big. That's not a small piece of work there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's actually a very well done piece of art. But yeah, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day. So yeah, Harrison, that's where you push the button again on the jingle. There you go.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right, we'll get him there. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, or you can text the show. You can watch us on the Twitch channel as well. If you want to comment in the chat, you can do that. There's Twitter. It's at Fred Faur, F-A-O-U-R, at Jordan PFX, right?
Change it. Josh Jordan 975.
Josh Jordan 975. Okay.
But you are correct. That was the old one.
Hey, you're killing me. So you guys have changed your Twitters. Like John used to do that like every month. And right when I'd memorize the old one, it's like something else. Really?
Once I got Moneyline, I changed it to Josh Jordan 97.5 just to make it easier, because who's going to remember Jordan PFX? I'm amazed that you remembered it. So, yeah, I switched it over about a couple of years ago.
Well, I'm not going to say why I remember it, because at least not on air. But, I haven't memorized. So, we're gonna be here until, we don't know, 4 or 4:30, whichever, doing a little sports. And so we said Fuller just got downgraded to out this week. I don't think at any point that he was going to play. So
no, and Hopkins did not practice today with that illness.
Yeah, but he rarely practices. I don't think that one means much. He's always got something going on during the week because he just doesn't practice much, and he doesn't need to. He seems to be fine when he gets on the field. But I don't really want to see any of those guys unless the Chiefs lose. If that happens, then all bets are off. You need to be out there trying to get that 3 seed, mainly so you can theoretically avoid the Ravens in the second round. Because I mean, if you get by the first round, which of course would be, you know, quite the feat for a Texan team with O'Brien coaching, because unless there's a third string quarterback playing for the other team, I just don't see much chance of them going in and even being competitive with the Ravens.
No, and even if they play the Patriots or something like that, I don't feel that great about that either.
I don't feel great about that, but I feel better about it, at least that they might could go in there and be competitive. But I don't see any chance that they even stay on the field with the Ravens. We've seen that act, and we know how it ends.
We do, and we were talking about this the other day. Do they have to get to like an AFC title game for this to be a successful season? I mean, just, you know, winning their first game against maybe Buffalo and then getting wiped out in the next round, that's not going to do anything for anybody, right?
No, I think that AFC championship means successful season. Other than that, I think that it's still just same old Texans. I mean, winning a playoff game it would only be the second one under O'Brien, so that would be an accomplishment. But, you know, you should expect more than that. And you should expect to win your first game, and then you should expect to be competitive with a shot at the AFC Championship.
I think so, too, and especially going all in and trading so much of your future to be good right now. I think you need to see some kind of return on that.
Well, I think you have seen a return on, especially on the Tunsil trade. I mean, you're assuming you get him signed, which I would think you would do. I don't think you bring the guy in to not sign him. But I think you've solidified that line with him and Howard when he's healthy and Sharping. You invested 5 picks in 3 positions there. I think that's worked out. I think that's going to be a pretty good offensive line in a couple of years if those guys stay healthy, and that, you know, that goes with anything. So I don't mind. I don't mind the trades. I don't mind any of that. But if you could win, if you can get to the AFC Championship game, I don't think there's any way you can call that a failure.
No. I mean, that would finally kind of change everybody's mind. Everybody's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's why the momentum thing of playing against Tennessee, like, oh, we want to have rhythm going into the playoffs. Why? You went and beat the Patriots, had a great game, and then what'd that momentum do for you the next week?
Yeah, I mean, I don't worry too much about that, because let's look at let's look at what this team's done. Oh, you just beat the Patriots. Huge game. Well, that momentum carried over real well into Denver, didn't it?
Right.
And then that negative momentum carried over, not at all, into the Titans game. So, as far as I'm concerned, I don't worry too much about momentum from week to week, especially with this team, because you never know which team's going to show up. So, I don't think momentum is a big deal. And in this case, just get your guys healthy, get them a little extra rest, get a little extra prep going for the Bills, and don't worry about Tennessee.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Stop changing everything every week just based on your opponent. I know they're going to do some of that, but there should be some staples of the offense that carry over every week. Like, I didn't see as much of the RPOs in the Bucs game. It was either Watson scrambling for a first down or him chunking it down the field. I'd like to see a little more consistency in what they're good at and what they do every week.
Well, that goes back to one of the complaints I've had about Bill O'Brien, is just changing the game plan every week to fit the opponent thing. That there are so many things that they do well that it really doesn't. That's one where I want you to impose your will on somebody.
Yeah.
So go take the plays you do well, the bootlegs. Go take the throws to Duke Johnson out of the backfield, the throws to the tight end, the RPO triple option where you can hand off or run or throw it to the tight end. I want to see those every week.
Me too.
And especially against teams with good cornerbacks. You don't attack the cornerback every single play just to do it. I mean, their offense works so much better when you're spreading it to the tight ends and the running backs out of the backfield, and then you're getting guys open downfield, and that's when they're at their best. And I think so much of it, you can tell early in a game what Bill O'Brien's decided to do, and you know if it's going to work or not. And I think that's kind of the frustrating thing, is you shouldn't have to be, you shouldn't change so much every week. When you have things that do work for you, keep trotting them out there. You don't have to run them every play. You know, you can work around that, but please just work, do the things that work.
No, I'm with you. And, you know, they gave up a lot for Duke Johnson. I don't feel like they use him as much as they should.
Well, and that's the thing. I think some of the pass plays even that they designed for him aren't very good. Yeah, I'd like to see him in single coverage on wheel routes, you know, with everybody else on the other side of the field against a linebacker. I think there's big plays to be had there. I think screen passes to him are there to be had. And they had one against the Bucs set up beautifully, and Watson overthrew him. But I think there's some other things you can be doing with him as a pass catcher to get him in space. And they really haven't done it very well this year. And that's the thing. I still think the offensive inconsistencies are the real problem with this team. Let's take a quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
Birthday a few years ago. You're right, they're great guys.
All right, we're going to have to work with him on the second hour intros and stuff. We're back on the Blitz. Fred Fowler, Josh Jordan filling in. Harrison doing his best. More hits than misses, but, you know, a few misses. That happens. First time doing the show. 713-780-3776. If you miss the first half hour, a lot of sports talk. So, I guess we'll keep doing some sports talk. I don't know how long we're going to be here. It'll either be until 4 o'clock or 4:30. That'll lead into Aggie football. There's conflicting reports from College Station, or I guess technically from NRG, or our College Station. They probably beam it back to College Station and then out to us. But either way, it'll be 4:30. And hopefully everybody's had a great, great holiday break. I'm guessing that most of you are still gone because there's nobody here. there were like three people in the building today when I came in.
Yeah. When I saw Todd yesterday, he was like, wow, there's somebody actually here to talk to. I was like, I know, man. It's deserted up here.
Yeah, Todd was here yesterday, and of the important people, and Laura was here today. And when it comes to important people, they're up there. But that's about it. You know, there's not many people here on the network side either. It's just nice and quiet. So I'm guessing everybody's just at home watching football and drinking. So for the five or six of you who are out there listening, we appreciate you. We'll try to keep you entertained up until 4 o'clock. So you're kind of, you seem shocked by the Antonio Brown thing this morning.
Yeah, I just, I just find it strange. And with the Saints, too, they brought him in for a workout, but Sean Payton said not now about the prospect of signing him. They're going to do more due diligence. I mean, the guy's just been a complete and total train wreck, and this seems like a strange time to bring him in, like right before the playoffs are starting.
Yeah, although if they think they need another weapon for the playoffs, it kind of makes sense. You bring him in, you check him out. I don't think I wouldn't want any part of him right now. I mean, the guy's a head case. If he'd stayed off Twitter, that's one thing, but he hasn't. And, you know, I think he can still play. Unlike a lot of these cats, he can help a team, and I'm sure that's what they're looking at. And then this thing comes out that, oh, well, he'll be on the commissioner's list and won't be able to play. Well, if you're bringing him in, ostensibly you're bringing him in for the playoff games if you're the Saints. Mm-hmm. Either if he can't play, then why are you going to bother? You're not doing it for next year. So, and then Sean Payton says they're not going to sign him right now. Also, just some brief news. Dan Quinn keeps his job.
I saw that.
In Atlanta. I think the nice second half finish probably did that for him.
Yeah, they're keeping the GM as well. I was curious to see how that would shake out.
Yeah, I kind of thought he'd done enough down the stretch to keep his job. I mean, when you've made it to a Super Bowl, you get a little more room, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, their offense is good every year. The defense has just been letting them down, been dealing with some injuries. But you got to wonder, though, how much longer is Julio going to be that guy?
Yeah, and I still think that one of the main complaints that I have about Matt Ryan is his red zone performance is not good enough. I mean, he's an MVP caliber quarterback in between the 20s. And other than the year with Kyle Shanahan where he did win the MVP, that's been an ongoing problem. And to me, that should be fixable. Red zone should be fixable.
It should, but they were so much more successful running the ball when Shanahan was there. And we've seen that carry over pretty much everywhere Shanahan goes. The running game is really good. And ever since he left, it hasn't been the same for them. Freeman keeps getting hurt, and it's just not the same offense. Matt Ryan needs that balance. He's not that elite tier where he can just carry a team without a running game. He needs pieces around him. You know, much like, you know, when Schaub was with the Texans, he needed that running game with Arian Foster and that play action to be successful.
I think he's a sexy Matt Stafford is what I think. I think it's something to do with guys named Matt, too. Matt. NFL quarterbacks named Matt. 346 says, wife and I welcomed our second child on the 16th, so it's been a great break for us. Congratulations. That's now it's man-to-man. No more zone. Let's squeeze in a call. Is that Aggie Joe? I can't. Aggie Joe. Okay, Aggie Joe, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Fred, I just wanted to get your opinion on what you think the Aggies are going to do today against OSU. I haven't been paying attention to the Big 12 in a while, so I'm not sure how good OSU is. But my big concern is just Kellen Mond's inconsistencies. They just catch up with them in big games. They just can't get down the field. The defense has been pretty strong, but they just can't get the offensive going enough. The running game is a little lacking, too. I just want to get your opinion. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks for calling. Well, I have mixed feelings about this game because I do think A&M has played the much better schedule. They've played much better teams, and they've only lost to the teams on their schedule that are better than them. Having said that, Oklahoma State's got a really, I mean, it depends a lot on the health of Chuba Hubbard. He led the nation in rushing. He's terrific. Also Canadian, by the way. A lot of people don't know that. Their freshman quarterback who's been hurt, he's really good. Oklahoma State is sneaky good, but A&M should be able to take advantage of that defense, but I think he nailed it. I mean, Kellen Mond has been inconsistent, and that has been really the issue with the Aggies all year long. He never has quite developed to that next-level quarterback that goes out and wins games for you, and I think for A&M to get where they want to get, I don't think it's going to happen with Kellen Mond at quarterback. I think he's okay. He's like that commercial. Yeah, he's just okay.
He's okay.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, early in the
just
year.
Just okay is not okay.
No, early in the year, I thought maybe he was putting it together, but it just didn't continue. It just fell off.
Yeah, and I mean, there were times I really thought that he was going to take a big step this year. And as it turns out, no, he's really pretty much the guy he was last year, which is, again, not bad. Not great. Just okay. And that should be enough for the Aggies to win, but because I do think, you know, Jimbo is pretty motivated to win this football game because 8 wins looks a lot better than 7. And, you know, I do think that it's almost a home game, although Oklahoma State travels. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of Okie State fans in the building. It's not going to just be an Aggie home game. But I do think A&M wins, but, man, I don't know about giving up 5.5 points with them.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, if you thought they'd cover. So you're thinking no.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I've actually probably been higher on Oklahoma State all year than most people. And I've bet them almost all year, and they've been pretty good to me. So, yeah, I think they're a better team than most people will give them credit for. But I think A&M's better. I just think that, it's a bowl game. And if they come out and the Aggies are more interested in going out and drinking last night and stuff like that, then I think they could lose.
I think it's kind of all about the coaching. You brought up Jimbo. These coaches care about their records and winning these bowl games. And, you know, NFL coaches are the same way. O'Brien wants to have that one extra win. So at the end of the year, when he gets evaluated, it looks a little better. The coaches really care about this stuff. Maybe even if the players are out drinking, the coaches want to win these games.
Well, I think in Jimbo's case, I mean, he's won national championship. He's won some big games. Doesn't mean that much. I just think for what he's getting paid, he kind of likes, I think he'd like to get a win here and finish with 8 wins. So I think that would be a big deal for them. But, I do think Oklahoma State's better than people think. I really do. I think they'll be motivated. I think we're going to get a game where motivation is not a deciding factor, because both teams should have motivation to win this game. So I think it'll be an entertaining game, and I'm probably going to lean over here as well. But the Cajun Trent said, "Hey, guess glad I can watch on Twitch at work. Feel closer to the show as a blitzer." Yeah, because we have those just beautiful faces is what it is, and you should feel like you're really close. I'd want to feel farther away, frankly, but that's just me. Yeah.
Just wait, we're going to have some new cameras coming. They're going to be a little more close-up centric. That is in the works, Fred, so get excited about that.
You know what? I don't mean to go like full Ken Hoffman here where I don't want to be on camera, but I don't want close-ups.
I think we're going to
have
some.
The farther away from my face that the camera is, the better for the people. I mean, nobody wants to see that.
I'm with you. I don't want the close-ups either, but I talked to Brandon the other day. I believe it's in the works. We're going to have some better angles. So if you are a Twitch viewer, it's going to get better. So keep tuning in.
Yeah, we're working on some cool stuff. And I mentioned before that we've got a new thing coming here early next year, no later than mid next year, but probably early, that will really improve the TV experience. And we'll improve the ability to chat about the show while it's going on. And we'll eliminate the text line, but not eliminate being able to watch on Twitch. And, you know, a lot of people have suggested, you know, more stuff in the background. And we'll look at all that. But the idea is we want to give everybody an opportunity to communicate with the show without it being just, "You suck. You suck. You're awful. Josh Jordan sucks."
Yeah, we get some Twitter trolls, that's for sure. But that's what's kind of cool about what we're doing, is we're always evolving and finding ways to do stuff better. And I've noticed other stations kind of copying some of the stuff that we've been doing.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, we keep evolving. So by the time they're doing that, we'll be on to the next thing.
And, you know, other people are copying what we do on Sports Map. I mean, that's just, I consider that, well, it doesn't surprise me, because of the success we've had with it. But, you know, when something works, that's what you do, right? Good artists borrow, great artists steal.
Yep.
So we just try to stay ahead of everybody. And this, the new thing we're going to do, will also tie in nicely with Sports Map. And I'm really excited about it. I think we're going to continue to change and evolve and try to stay ahead of what everybody else is doing and make them keep chasing us and catching up. And, you know, we're going to do that with the website. We're going to do that with the shows. with the presentation, with how you communicate with the shows, all of those things. We're fortunate we work at a place that is we're thinking 5-10 years down the road, what's going to be the next thing. And we've even talked about this in meetings. It's like, okay, I don't want to do this. What's the next thing?
Right.
What will people be doing 10 years from now? And that's what we try to focus on. And if we're a couple years ahead on something, so be it. At some point, everything else will catch up to us.
Yeah, we just want to give the best experience possible. That's what we try and do.
And and in case you didn't know, Josh is assistant editor of Sports Map, so he's very involved. One day it will all be his. As soon as I die,
don't you die on me, Fred?
Any day now, yeah. But and with that, we're trying to integrate everything and give. Because the listeners and the readers are the most important things out there, and we want to give you guys the best experience and the best opportunity to communicate with the shows, to communicate with what we're doing on Sports Map. There'll be a chance for you to comment on things now, and we just feel like this is it'll be a great step. It takes us in a different direction, and you know, I think all these other stations would love to be able to create a Sports Map to work with their station. The problem is they don't have the resources to do it.
No, they don't.
We had to spend money to make that thing work. And, you know, that's a credit to David Gow. He's just like, okay, what do we need? Let's go do it. This isn't working. Okay, what else do you need? And that's been great for us.
He's trusted us to figure it out.
Yep, and, you know, so far we have. So hopefully we'll keep it going. All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
We are back on The Blitz. No AJ today. Josh Jordan filling in. So we were talking about the college football games tomorrow. Does it bother you that the semifinals aren't on New Year's Day? I've seen a lot of people bitch about that. And the ratings have not been as good on New Year's Eve, which makes sense. Nobody wants to really watch football. I mean, I'll watch football on New Year's Eve because I don't go out. But now that they're moving it to the Saturday before, to me, if you don't get like really great ratings from Ohio State Clemson, then maybe you should think about moving it back to the first.
I mean, just for me personally, I'm traveling. I'm going to go to Austin for New Year's. So, you know, I'm going to be traveling during the day on New Year's Day, so I wouldn't be able to watch it. So this is actually better for me.
Well, it's all about you.
But you got to figure a lot of people do, you know, travel, go do something for New Year's. So I think it's a smart move.
Yeah, I don't know. I always use New Year's to recover and watch football. You know, basically recover from the night before, get up around 11, you know, maybe pop a couple drinks so that you're, you know, you kind of keep it going instead of just
hair of the dog.
Yeah, and then watch football. That's always been my New Year's tradition.
And I mean, it was like that for years. So, but no, I mean, it makes sense. You know, holidays, people have stuff going on, man. So, and I don't know if New Year's is technically a holiday, but typically people have plans.
But you know what? It is the one day that college football has always owned.
Yeah,
and now they don't, and in part because the Rose Bowl has to be on there, and the Sugar Bowl. And if the semifinals aren't those games, it's not going to be on the first. So, you know, it's unfortunate, but I it doesn't matter to me as much because, man, I guarantee you the days tend to run together, especially when you don't really wind up having days off. they all run together to me, but it just seems like that if the ratings are higher for that, then maybe you should find a way to make that work. But it's ESPN's problem. It's not mine.
No doubt. And, you know, week 17 in the NFL can be kind of lackluster with a lot of divisions wrapped up. So at least we do have some really good games this weekend to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And Saturday is kind of the college football day, although I don't feel like it's when you get to this stage of the year, Saturday isn't really a college football day anymore. It's you know, we're into the holidays. But, you know, I thought it was interesting that some people were complaining about that. And, now, I saw another story, which I tend to agree with. For the first time in the history of the playoffs, well, it's not the first time, but this is the best four quarterbacks they've had in the history, of the short history of the college football playoffs.
That's interesting. Yeah. I think that's probably why we're so excited about these games.
I think so. And you know, you've got and Lawrence especially, people, we talked about him a little bit in the first hour, how much better he's been than people realize here over the second half of the season. And Fields has been terrific. Obviously, Burrow won the Heisman, and Jalen Hurts was right behind him there. That's some star power. And I think it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. I really hope that LSU wins, because I think either one of those teams would be 15 to 18 point favorites over OU, and I don't really want to see that. But I'd like to see LSU against either one of those teams. I guess I'd most want to see LSU Clemson, but I wouldn't mind LSU Ohio State either.
No, I'm with you there. I think Oklahoma's clearly the team everybody's not as excited about out of the four. So, yeah, as long as LSU goes on and plays one of those teams, I'll be happy. The Clemson factor is exciting because it's, you know, it's like having the Patriots in the Super Bowl. You know, it's something you're used to seeing.
For some reason, though, for me, Clemson doesn't have a hate factor yet.
Yeah.
It's almost like, man, as long as it's not Alabama, I hope Clemson wins every time they play Alabama. So maybe if they win again, then that hate factor will start, the fatigue factor. Say, oh, great. Here they are again. Damn Dabo. Go coach in the NFL. Give somebody else a chance.
But, I mean, Dabo's so much more likable than Nick Saban. I think that's part of it, too, right?
No, this table's more likable than Nick Saban. Nick Saban's got the personality of a dead rat. But, yeah, I think that's part of it. Although he was kind of a whiny little bitch this year, too. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants us in there. Oh, shut up. You know, you play in a crap conference. Just shut up. Your favorite over Ohio State, who was number one most of the year. Nobody wants us in there. God, shut up, Dabo. But I think it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And but really, I guess the other bowl games I'm kind of looking forward to. I want to see what Memphis does against Penn State, and I'm kind of interested in. I'll tell you this: I'm financially invested in Texas against Utah +7.
Yeah.
How motivated is Utah going to be? One game away from a potential spot in the college football playoffs to the Alamo Bowl. Mm-hmm. Where you're playing the fifth best team in the Big 12. Don't think you're going to go in there and be all that motivated. And, you know, Tom Herman is a dog, pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think for him, an eighth win would mean a ton, just like it would for Jimbo. You know, you're under that microscope there at Texas. They'll be motivated. So I like Texas +7. And I like Baylor against Georgia for some of the same reasons. It feels like that... every year, the Sugar Bowl team from the SEC is a team that was a game away from the playoffs. And, oh, great, we get to go to the Sugar Bowl again. And for Baylor, that's going to be a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we saw that last year, right, with Texas and Georgia.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, Big 12 fans are like, oh, no, that's not fair because they went in there and beat them. But the reality is, you know, those teams, like, and Baylor was kind of in that conversation, too. If they'd beaten OU, they were getting in after Utah lost. But I think it's just different. I think I feel like they're not disappointed about that. I feel like they're looking at their season going, hey, we were really good.
Yeah.
And, boy, capping it off with a win over Georgia would be huge.
Yeah, I don't think anybody saw Baylor doing what they did this year before the season started. So they should feel good about it. They're on the upswing.
Yeah, and, you know, as long as Matt Rhule stays there. So.
Yeah, that could be tricky. He's getting a lot of talk about him.
Yeah. And maybe even for an NFL job.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to, although I don't know what college jobs he would necessarily leave for, because he's got a pretty good situation there. And, you know, obviously there's better jobs if they come open. But, you know, realistically, I think he'd make a pretty good NFL coach. And I'd like to see what would happen if he got an opportunity.
No, I do too. And, you know, it's not so scary in the Big 12 anymore. You know, back in the day, the best Texas athletes would go to Texas, but that's not really the case anymore. A lot of them want to go to the SEC and, you know, go on to the NFL.
Yeah. I think I don't know what it is about the Big 12 that, unless you're Texas or Oklahoma, it's just you don't feel like there's another team there that you have faith in. And, you know, that's why a Baylor can jump up every now and then. That's why a TCU can jump up every now and then. It's just there's not, you know, there really isn't the depth in that conference that you'd like to see. And I think that's one of the reasons why what OU has not won one playoff game yet. And I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow. I could be wrong, but I don't know how you fix that, because you've got some pretty damn good coaches in that league. But I also think you added some teams that in the end really didn't bring a lot. Like West Virginia in the Big East was really good. But you put them in the Big 12. Same thing with TCU. They're really good at the level below and deserve the opportunity. But it's hard to compete at that level year in and year out when you're TCU and when you're West Virginia. And so they can jump up and win every now and then. And Kansas State, same thing. They can jump up and win every now and then. But can those teams really sustain success? And the only two programs to me that can are Oklahoma and Texas. And, you know, Tech can jump up every now and then. Yeah. But, I mean, there was one time that they were in that conversation with the one loss, the Crabtree team with Leach.
Yeah.
That's it. And, you know, Kansas, forget about it.
No, they're terrible. And even when they had Mahomes, they, you know, Texas Tech wasn't that good.
No, they had a losing record with Pat Mahomes on the roster. So, I think, on the whole, the Big 12 is, I do like that Texas went out and played LSU this year. And Oklahoma most years goes out and plays a good team. And, you know, this year's schedule was not as good, but wasn't their fault that UH turned out to be garbage. And, you know, they at least tried to schedule a decent non-Power 5 team. But, you know, it's, I don't know what's going to elevate that conference unless Texas becomes Texas again. And I don't know if that's in the cards either.
I don't either. And, you know, as a Longhorn fan, I went to Texas and, man, it's just, hadn't been very exciting the last couple of years. But to your point, I love that they played LSU early in the year. It gave me an exciting game to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, at some point you'll win one of those.
Yeah.
And it'll you know, knock you into the top five, and you'll be in the conversation for a while until you lose to somebody you're not supposed to. All right, don't go anywhere. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. No AJ today. Come on, I heard you say that the only team that can sustain success in the Big 12. I think there's two teams. Just who are the teams that can do that in the SEC? Well, I mean, obviously Alabama's done it. You know, Auburn's been up there in and out, and it gets kind of hard that when you get two teams like that, and that LSU's usually really good. In fact, they've had a nice run. You get three teams in one division like that, that kind of crowds everybody else out. And I think all three of those teams have been able to do that. And again, Mississippi State, Mississippi, Aggie, all those teams can jump up and have a season. But I don't know that you're going to see them consistently winning 9-10 games the way that you see LSU, the way that Auburn does. And on the other side, I mean, Florida, obviously. I think Tennessee, if they ever got the right person in there and quit penising around, that could be a program that stays good. And Georgia, certainly. And then, again, you've seen Missouri jump up and win that side, but it's hard to sustain it unless you have, like, a transcendent coach. And there's just not that many of those out there. All right, so you found something you wanted to get to.
Yeah, Pro Football Talk is putting out their top 10 of the decades for different positions. And today they released the running back position. I thought it was kind of interesting because a former Texan made the list.
Okay. So, like, Amon Green?
Steve Slayton.
Oh. Was he from this decade? I thought he was prior to 2010.
Nah, you might be right about that. No, but I thought it was interesting.
Alfred Blue.
Alfred Blue. How can you... Oh, you got to love you some Alfred Blue. No, some of these guys are, you know, still current, still playing, so I'll bounce a couple of them off you here. Number 10, Mark Ingram. What do you think about that?
Okay.
Feels a little high, right?
Yeah, I don't know that I would have him that high, but I guess I need to hear who the others are before I make a determination. Right now, I would say no, he shouldn't be on there.
Okay. Coming in at number 9, the Texan that I teased there, Arian Foster, coming in at number 9.
I think that's fair. If Bill O'Brien hadn't trotted him out there in a game he was losing by 40 points, he would have had an even better stretch. I mean, I think there's no question he was a complete standout on that team. When he was at his best, He was a guy who made a huge difference because a great running back will do that, and he was that. So I have no problem with him being number nine.
No, and it's kind of funny that you bring that up, too, where we're talking about O'Brien playing him in a meaningless game. And earlier in the show, we were worried about O'Brien playing guys in a meaningless game. So a little history might be repeating itself here. Maybe we shouldn't give him too much credit. He might screw this up and get somebody hurt this week.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Coming in at number eight, great running back, but man, he's kind of fallen off the last couple of years. Le'Veon Bell, number eight.
Yeah, that feels a little low, actually. I think it almost feels like there's some recency bias because he didn't play last year.
Right.
And then this year he hasn't been good at all for the Jets. But I figure, what the hell, that's the Jets.
Yeah, he's played six seasons this decade, coming in at number eight. And great player, but you're hearing some talk that he might get cut. So he might be available again, that the Jets can actually save a little bit of money. And, you know, we heard that Adam Gase didn't really want him. And by the way, Adam Gase... Yeah, how's Kenyon Drake looking now? How's Tannehill looking now? You know, how's Devontae Parker looking now that he's out of there?
Did you see that what he said when he was asked about fan criticism?
No.
Adam Gase? He says he doesn't care what fans think of him because he's rich as bleep. And apparently that's been his go-to line since he was hired by the Jets. Another phrase he used is his give a bleep meter. And he says it's low because of how much money he makes.
Boy, that's got to make you feel really, that's comforting if you're the owner, right?
That is one of those, it's just like the player who got the big contract and quit playing worth a damn. That's kind of what that feels like. But you know what, Jets, you deserve that for hiring that guy.
They do. I don't know what they were thinking. So I'm not a big fan of his. Everybody else has gone somewhere else and had success. I mean, even Landry at least continued his success with the Browns. So it looks like Gase is the problem. But anyway, neither here nor there. We'll continue with the list. This guy, one of my favorite running backs, Jamaal Charles, number seven.
Actually feels a little low.
Yeah.
Although I know most of his damage was done earlier in the decade. In fact, all of it. But, yeah, I think he deserves to be on the list.
No doubt about it. This next guy, he put up a ton of numbers, but I think Jamaal Charles is a better player. Matt Forte coming in at number six.
Yeah, I mean, he had a nice run. I think he belongs on the list. I think that's too high.
I do, too. He twice earned Pro Bowl honors, but never an All-Pro. So, there you have it. Number five really kind of surprised me. DeMarco Murray, number five.
Boy, you talk about really good for a very short stretch. That feels too high.
Yeah, he had three really good seasons in the decade, as PFT is talking about. I don't know. It felt like he was hurt all the time with the Cowboys.
He had the one great year with them.
Yeah.
And then went on and had a good year with the Titans, and that was about it.
Yeah, and he fell off right there. This player, coming up next at number four, he is making his return. We haven't talked about this yet. It's kind of interesting. Marshawn Lynch, number four.
I think that's fair for what he was able to do. Of course, he wasn't able to get a yard when they needed it because they didn't try it. But, and interesting to see him back with the Seahawks. But, yeah, I think that's fair. That's about where he belongs.
What do you expect from him? Just
not much.
Yeah.
I think at this point they're just throwing bodies out there. They picked Turbin back up, too. It's like, let's go get all the guys we used to have.
Get the band back together.
And just hope that we get something out of them. But, you know, I don't think you're going to get much out of him. And you don't need much. You just need him out there firing for a game or two. And if you can get, you know, I mean, he's 33 years old. So I my expectations are low.
And we saw how terrible the Seahawks looked against the Cardinals after Carson went down. I mean, just a bad game from Russell Wilson. They need that running game. All right, next one. One of my favorites. He's played forever. Frankie Gore coming in at number three.
You know, that feels high.
Yeah.
Because he's never really been a top three running back in the league. He's just done it for so long.
Right. That Biggio kind of thing.
Yeah. It's so I'd have him on the list, but I wouldn't have him that high.
Okay. Me too. Another former player from the Buffalo Bills coming in at number two, LeSean McCoy. Shady.
Boy, that feels high for him too. I mean, again, been a good player in several different places now. And he's been pretty good for the Chiefs when they've used him.
He has. And in their notes here, they say no running back gained more yards this decade than McCoy. I mean, he was so good with the Eagles back when, you know, Andy Reid was there. Any running back with Andy Reid turns out to put up some numbers.
Yeah. And then Chip Kelly happened.
Chip Kelly happened. And then finally, no surprise here, Adrian Peterson coming in at number one.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, even though shorter body of work, I think Zeke Elliott belongs on that list somewhere.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's probably it among the current guys, but I would have him on there somewhere. I think there's some guys you could take off, but he's been really consistent. And what, 4 years in the league now? Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right, because he just got that new deal. And it's interesting, too. We see how – I'm kind of surprised that with how short running backs' careers typically are, that quite a few of these guys are still playing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, not at a great level, but they're still playing. So, but, yeah, I think Zeke, this was his fourth season, and he failed to rush for 1,000 yards in 2017 – when he rushed for 983, that was the suspension year, if I'm not mistaken. 1,600 the first year, 1,400 the second year, or third year, 1,235 this year. He's not done. He averaged 95 yards a game minimum until this year, where he's been 82.3. And he's got 1,600 receiving yards in there, too. Plus, he scores touchdowns. 39 rushing and 7 receiving in 4 years.
Now, and you bring up a good point with the suspension. Jerry and I often talk about this on Moneyline. The sophomore year for these running backs, after they had that big rookie season, man, a lot of them fall off. With Zeke, you know, it was the suspension. With Todd Gurley, the offense was just terrible. Leonard Fournette, it was injuries. You know, Saquon Barkley, we were expecting so much this year, and then he gets hurt. So it's just something to keep an eye on. A lot of these guys that blow up their rookie seasons, they usually fall off a little bit the next year.
Yeah, the other guy that I would make a case for near the bottom of the list, although he did not have a good year this year, which is probably why I couldn't make a great case, is Alvin Kamara.
True, yeah.
But he's, you know, there's a few guys on here that I would take him over. But I do think if you just look at this year tacked on to his other years, it's like, okay, maybe not yet. Maybe not yet. But Zeke Elliott I would put on that list.
No, and that was a lot of touchdown regression with Kamara. I mean, you know, his yards are actually pretty solid, but, you know, he was scoring in the teens of touchdowns the last couple of years, and I think he has 4 this year.
Yeah. Michigan State beating Wake Forest 17-14 with 6:35 to go in the new era Pinstripe Bowl at Yankee Stadium. Yay.
Sound pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, I have no skin in this one because I didn't bet it, and I'm not really interested in either one of these teams. So other than that, yeah. Very fired up, but I'm stoked about the Aggie game. I'm gonna, you know, when I get home, gonna either go out with and get some beverages in front of a TV, or I'm gonna stay at home with some beverages in front of a TV and watch the Aggies and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, two teams that I followed very closely all season. So pretty excited about it. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. No A.J. Josh Jordan filling in. Quite capably, I might add. And we'll see if AJ's back on Monday or not. He, last I heard, he has no voice. So, yeah, that might not work out. So I hope whatever he has, he didn't pass on to me yesterday, though.
I know, and I'm sharing the same microphone right here.
Yeah, well, that's why I always bring my own mic cover, but it doesn't matter when you're sitting 5 feet from somebody who's spraying germs on you. I get to see it. I'll be in here, but, hey, the plant is on!
Yeah, it's kind of important.
For Monday! I did a show like that once. I'm like, okay, I can never do that because I sounded so bad. I hated hearing myself talk more than I usually do. But yeah, it was like, well, the Texans are really pretty good. Yeah. So I don't want to do that. God, it hurts almost doing.
Yeah, kind of important for a radio host to be able to speak.
Yeah, the things that mess us up. Like, I could break a leg and have a bone sticking out and sit here and do the show. It'd be fine. But a cold?
Yeah.
Forget it. Yeah, it's just little stuff like that. I mean, I could have leprosy and my thing could fall off right in the middle of the show and roll down my leg, and I'd be like, okay, well, let's talk about that matchup between the Texans and the Titans on Sunday. Whoops. You know, but yeah, you get a cold, and it's or laryngitis is the worst. And especially when you're coughing and sneezing and stuff. And that's why if anybody has a cold and comes anywhere near me, I'm like, get the fuck away. Get away. Bad person. Shame on you.
I'm the same way. I can't afford to miss work, man. That's why I wash my hands way more than I probably should, just because I can't afford to get sick.
Well, that's unfortunately, that's a lot of people. And a lot of, you know, what a lot of our compensation is based on, you know, as Charlie likes to say, attendance is part of the grade.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that's based on actually being here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I you know, I hate missing days for any reason. And, you know, like now, I mean, there's everybody else takes off. That's great. That's their choice. I have this great fear that somebody will tune into the show for the first time and hear somebody else's voice. And it's silly, right?
Yeah.
Or that I'm going to have a really bad segment and that's what the first thing somebody hears. So I always want to be here and try to be on top of my game as best I can.
No, that's fair. And typically when you take your vacation, it's kind of when nothing's going on, right? In the summer or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've gotten now where I pretty much take all my vacation time during the summer and go to Canada. And then, you know, now that I'm back into playing a couple of WSOP events, that's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to kind of up it by one each year. Cool. So this year I'm going to play two. And, you know, and again, one, maybe three. The plan is if I cash for more than $10,000 in one of them, I will use that for the main event. And, you know, I'm hoping, I mean, I may just play the main event anyway, if I can get a couple sponsors, because I'd like to do it and I will get some TV time.
Yeah.
I know people, but but that's when I want to do my vacation. And I've got to do some book appearances this summer as well, and movies and things like that. 903 says AJ will do just fine whispering like that new fad. What do we call that? What is it? AMR? What is that called?
ASMR. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be the new thing. AJ can come in and whisper.
Go through the games and all the lines in a quiet whisper.
Ed Orgeron sucks. LSU sucks. They're not going to beat Oklahoma. Yeah. God, that was so freaking hilarious. I'd never heard of that. And I can't believe people listen to that, and I mean, they're into it.
They find it soothing, yeah.
Well, I mean, I get part of it because, like, I do some meditation and stuff, and you know, when you do the group meditation thing, and you know, I know what I sound like. I should have been born in the '60s. I really am a hippie at heart. I'm not gonna lie, and you know, I'd have been all about free love and meditation and lots of weed. Kind of like I am now, but it is kind of cool when somebody is, when you're meditating and it's a group meditation thing, it's very soothing. Some chick talking about her makeup, it doesn't quite work for me.
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to my Zen place, you know, the center of my being where, you know, I'm one with the universe and I'm able to, you know, converse with creatures from other planets. And, you know, first I'm going to put on my eye makeup. Yeah, that doesn't do it for me.
No.
So
very different than what I typically listen to, which is, oh, okay.
All right, so we will be going to 4:30, so you'll get an extra 30 minutes of us for whatever that's worth. So one says, serves him right for making fun of that ASMR stuff. Just kidding. Yeah, that was pretty funny. So, Fred, you should have been born in the 60s. You were born in, no, I should have been of age in the 60s. I shouldn't have been a three-year-old in the 60s. I would have been a really good hippie. I think.
Yeah.
There's cool. There's not a place for hippies now. I mean, because honestly, like, you could be a hipster,
right?
But that's not the same thing.
No.
Because, you know, a real hardcore hipster is kind of douchey. Hippies weren't ever douchey.
Nah, man.
Nah, man. They were just like, you make fun of them because of the hair.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is they were cool.
Yep.
They loved everybody. They, you know, maybe didn't bathe enough. But other than that, I don't think there's not a lot about them that I don't like.
No. They'd loved a good party, some good music.
Oh, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, and they were chill.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't let things bother them. You know, if they had taken over the world, I think we'd live in a pretty cool place.
Yeah. Be a lot calmer and
Instead, we've got North Korea trying to launch missiles at us and maps of where they can hit. The Russians have some new super missile. That's, you know, if the hippies had won, that wouldn't have happened. If, yeah. if a hippie were in charge in Russia instead of Putin, then we wouldn't have these things. They'd be like, hey, man, come on over to the country and hang.
You're right.
I just think this is going to be a cool time, man. You know? It's a cool time to be in Russia.
No expectations.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Whatever happens, happens, yep. man. Moscow's burning down. Oh, well.
Whatever, man. Pass the vodka.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, man. Was this Hippie Hollow still in the Austin area, Fred? You should go. I don't know.
Yeah,
don't know
it actually. It, yeah, that's it, where they get naked, right?
Yeah. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see a naked hippie.
You don't want to see
and naked hippies don't want to see me. Let's keep this fair. I want it on. You know, I want to be perfectly honest here.
And it's always the people that you don't really want to see naked that are naked at these things, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I mean, I don't know. I've never actually. Well, I won't say that. But I've been to a naked place, and it ain't what you want to see. It really isn't. It's old, shriveled penis and, you know, women that really need to stay covered up. You know, there's baby scars all over them and things like that. Yeah, it's you know, and sometimes they've still got hair on their arms and legs. You know, it's just, yeah, you don't want to see all that.
They invented shirts and pants for a reason.
I don't know. Everybody gets the idea that if you go to one of these nudist places, there's going to be all these hot people, like Cristiano Ronaldo wandering around with his dong out. You know, or Scarlett Jo, you know, in full makeup and heels, but completely naked. Other than that, nope, that's not what you're getting. You're getting armpit hair.
I learned that early on. You remember that show Real Sex on HBO?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they take you out to some of those places, and you're like, what? What did I stay up late for? This is not what I was hoping to see.
Oh, man. I used to love that show. That was, you know, that was almost like porn before we had free porn.
Yeah.
Because there were some of those shows are really good, and they went into all these different things. Yeah, you know, like they would go into the brothels and do a whole, like, it would be like a 30 for 30 for hookers.
Right.
And it was pretty cool. It was a well-done show. But there was all kinds of weird stuff that they did on there. I remember one was they were doing oral underwater.
I saw that one.
And you remember that one?
Yes.
And I'm like, how on earth can she hold her breath?
Right.
Because she's kind of doing it. It just doesn't add up.
No.
It doesn't add up at all. But she pulled it off. I mean, she pulled off the act.
Ow.
Yeah, not the other thing. I wouldn't want that to happen. But yeah, that was that's one of those HBO shows that just kind of disappeared into the ether.
Yeah.
Do you remember Dream On?
Oh, that was a great show.
With Brian Benben.
Yeah.
And Wendy Malick, who still looks, I would still.
Mm-hmm.
But, because she showed up in, well, she was in The Ranch. She played that ranch owner. But that show just disappeared.
Yeah.
And I don't know what happened to any of those. Like, I don't know where Brian Benben is. Is he dead?
I haven't seen him in anything in years. But no, that was a really good show where he'd kind of think back of all the TV shows that he watched as a kid. And that would kind of relate to everything.
Yeah. And it fit his job.
Yeah.
And it was, and he was really sexually frustrated, which made him like every other man I know, like myself. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was, I liked that show. And what was it? Michael McKean was in it, I believe, with one ball. But yeah, it's weird how some of those shows just disappeared.
It is, and it shows you HBO's been doing it right for a long time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't know how long the sex show went on, but that was that lasted for a while.
I think it got into the teens. I mean, and then it kind of turned into. Didn't they start doing taxi cab confessions after
that?
And,
yeah, which was kind of, you know. So, yeah, he did Dream On, and he was in I Come in Peace with Dolph Lundgren. And other than that, he hasn't done much of anything. He was in some show called Private Practice for 5 years, and he's supposed to be in something called Imposters right now, which I've not heard of. And, but you talk about a guy who, that went from 1990 to 96. He won an ACE award. And, boy, he seemed to be on an upward trajectory there.
Yeah, and HBO is all about hiring some unknowns kind of in the beginning.
Well, that's because they don't pay anything.
Exactly. There's a plan there.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's okay. And then they become known. That's what happened with Game of Thrones. That's why they couldn't keep it going on much longer because they had to pay all those guys.
It's too expensive.
Yeah, suddenly You know, Kit Harington's a monster star.
Yep.
And hell, Jason Momoa was only there for a season. Yeah. And he's a monster star. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gal Studios in Houston, Texas. Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Believe it or not, we've been here since, what, 2:20-something?
Yeah.
We'll be here till 4:30 today when we'll take you right up to Aggie football. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Actually, no, you can't because Aaron's the only one who reads that. I don't bother with it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at Josh Jordan 975. Harrison, what's yours again? Tell the people.
Harrison the Prod.
Harrison the Prod. That kind of fits with the Sex and the City stuff we were talking about, if you want to be honest. Yeah. You can get us on Twitch. You can get on there and comment there. You can text the show. Miss the first, whatever it was, hour and something. It's good stuff. A lot of sports, and then we mix it up a little bit. For some reason, Josh was feeling sentimental about Real Sex on HBO.
Yep.
There were 33 episodes of that.
Whoa.
And the last one was like 2009. And apparently there was a spinoff called Pornucopia, which I never saw.
Me neither.
But some of the descriptions of these are hilarious. And I'm not going to go into them in detail, but if you go to Wikipedia, and I'll just give you a few. Episode 7, photographer takes quirky fine art black and white nudes of his friends on the streets of New York.
I've seen that one.
The couple behind Libido, the Journal of Sex and Sensibility, shoot a nude layout for the magazine. And a virile Chinese senior citizen.
How do they measure that?
Well played. Well played. Episode 19, a group gets together to play in the mud in the desert. Club 55 in Washington, D.C., which closed in 2008, and Hedonism 2, sponsored by the beauty pageant for black women. Where's the best one? There was a one here about a penis. I got to find it again. I wound up going and checking all these out, and now I feel kind of silly. Ride Pony Ride, women who enjoy playing as horses.
Of course they do.
Oh, yeah. Here it is. Penis Puppeteers. Off-Broadway show, Puppetry of the Penis. That's episode 29, in case you're curious.
I don't think I'm going to go back and rewatch that one exactly.
Yeah, I think I'll pass. So, yeah, that's where we were going. And Frodo on the Twitch says, Slutever is the PG-13 version of Real Sex. It's on Vice, and it's pretty good.
Hmm.
I don't know if I want PG-13 when it comes to sex.
Yeah, it's kind of the whole point, right?
Yeah, theoretically. one hockey play for the people tonight. I have Toronto, New Jersey over 6. Backup goalie for Toronto, and he's been awful. And I'm backing off the other one I was looking at. So, Islander Chicago under 5.5 if you're looking for a secondary play, but don't spend much on that one. Spend more on the Toronto game. And yeah, there you go. There's some gambling for you. Got that in. Not too big on much of the football. I mean, I'm just kind of interested in what happens with A&M tonight. And I'm interested in, obviously, the semifinal games tomorrow. And then the late game tonight, Washington State Air Force. I know AJ was big on the over. I'm going to hit the over on that. It's up to 69.5.
Ooh.
But we talked with Brad Powers about this yesterday, and Washington State can't stop the option. Air Force can't stop the air raid. Well, guess what? It's your classic movable object and stoppable force.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I feel over pretty good there.
yeah, and my boy Jerry Bowe also likes the Washington State over as well. So seems like everybody's kind of on the same page.
Well, that is never a good sign. When we all like the same thing,
yeah.
I found that's when I tend to double my bets. And I like every single one of us thought SMU was going to make sweet love to Florida Atlantic.
Mm-hmm.
And they did not. So, and I was already all over that. AJ was all over that. Then Brad comes on and starts talking about how he's all over it.
Oh, no.
And so, yeah, all right, I'm going to punch the ticket again. Ouch.
No. Yeah. We talked about it on the show the other day. Jerry was on it as well. He got hit by that one, too.
Yeah. Wow. Episode 31, excuse me. There's a masturbation club. The only heterosexual masturbation club in America. And it's called, interestingly enough, Masturbation Club.
Didn't put much thought into that one.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, this is... Yeah, the puppetry of the penis one, that's the most.
Yeah, not a fan. I remember the hedonism one. There were a couple that stick out. The New York one, I remember that one. He got just like hundreds of naked people to lay down in the street and,
yeah,
and took photos of them.
Lamont asked, if you were a teen or a young adult in 69, would you have gone to Woodstock? Probably. I would have been that kind of guy. You know what I would have been? Did you ever see that musical Hair?
Yeah.
Well, did you ever see the movie version with Treat Williams?
It's been a while, but yeah,
that would have been me. I would have been Treat Williams running around with all the hair,
and then
I would step in so that my guy could get laid, and then I would wind up getting accidentally sent to Vietnam like him and killed. That would be me. And now, spoiler alert, just gave away the plot of the movie,
mm-hmm.
But
too soon.
It was 30 something years ago, but yeah, that'd have been what happened to me. I would have been doing, and I'd have been singing and, mm-hmm. and all that stuff, hair flying around. And then, yeah, and then I would have said, okay, you go make sweet love to that woman while I'll sit here in the barracks for you and wear your suit and cut my hair off just in case. And then I'd get put on the plane. And then the final scene, they'd be looking at my grave.
Yeah, I think it worked out a little better this way for you, Fred.
Yeah, probably so. Plus, you know, if I had been in the 60s as a hippie or a young adult, I'd probably be dead by now.
Yeah.
So at least now I get to hopefully, my goal is if I can make it another 15 years. By then, we're all going to be cyborgs.
Ooh.
I can probably make it another 100 at that point, because then they can replace all the things that I've broken with cyborg stuff.
No, that's good. It's a good way to try and plan for your future, just to try and, I don't know, if you get an extra 100 years out of it, I don't know, but would you get bored? You know, like...
Me? No.
No?
No. I would love to be a vampire. I'd love to live forever, because, you know, frankly, I don't... I mean, there's so much that I mean, I've already lived like three lifetimes. There's so many others that I'd like to do.
Sure.
I'd like to be an actor at some point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what else I'd like to do, but that's one. I'd like to do some acting, but I'd have to be handsome for that, and that's why I need to be a cyborg. Because then they can replace all the things on me that are ugly with things that aren't.
So you just got to stick around.
Yeah, that's it. I'm thinking 15 years, because we made such progress. And trust me, I got no problem walking around with cyborg arms.
Nah.
I'm totally cool with that, especially if I can crush a throat.
That would be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, all the Star Wars characters basically have kind of cyborg arms and stuff like that.
And I think a cyborg female would be kind of sexy.
Yeah. It's worth it, just at least to have it on your list, right?
Oh, yeah. That's definitely on my list. Either that or by then, aliens are going to show up and we'll either all die or we'll become their friends. I'd like to think I'll be on the friend side.
Yeah, that's probably better.
You know, I mean, I think I've been pro-alien enough that if they've been listening, I think they'd welcome me.
Yeah, you're on record being pro-alien.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. And I would befriend them. Unless they're the ones like an Independence Day, in which case there's nothing you can do, and plus they're ugly.
Yeah.
I don't like those. They look like bugs. I want the hot blue alien chicks, only not the ones from Avatar.
Yeah, they don't look like Natalie Portman either. So.
I mean, just a little bit like that would be okay. And preferably an all-female society.
Yeah, I could get down with that.
And one that, you know, needs males to breed.
Let's see where this is going.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I would offer up my services.
I see what you're doing there. Real team player.
I'm just trying to help. Just trying to help our planet. And then maybe they can do something like, I don't know, fix the ozone
and fix our environment so that we don't all die in the next 20 years. Because the thing that's going to suck the most is if I make it 15 years and then they get the cyborg stuff going, we're going to have destroyed the planet and I'm going to have to go live on Mars.
Yeah, that's no
good. It's going to be like Matt Damon, and I don't want to do that because I can't grow potatoes out of my own poo.
No. I can't imagine that would be very tempting to eat, but hey, it's either that or die, I guess.
Well, I mean, he made it.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully aliens will have better weed. That's the other thing that I would like to see, which Frodo on the Twitch channel mentioned they might have weed. So I imagine, boy, you get, what would we call it?
Dude, I just had the most awesome Alpha Centauri. This stuff is incredible. Oh.
Well, if they can figure out how to fly at the speed of light, I bet they can make some really good weed.
Man, this Orion's belt is awesome.
Have you ever seen Orion's belt? You ever seen it on weed, man?
Oh, God. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, you know what? You got any questions about anything sportsy? We got one segment left, so just fire them on the text line or fire them on the Twitch, and we'll get to them. We'll do a, you know, we'll answer the people's questions. We'll take a quick break. One segment to go, and then we'll be doing some Aggie football. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
We're back on The Blitz. What was that? I didn't hear that at all.
He was mentioning what the topic was for our caller here on hold.
Ah. You want to do a caller?
Sure.
I'll let you pick. Before we get to that, though, going back to the nude places, 49 said, was stationed in Germany in the army. Look forward to Sunbad, which is a pool and tanning place. Topless, sun bottomless, full of 70-year-olds. That's what these things are, man. I hate to break it to you.
It's all Magda from Something About Mary.
Yes, right? Yes. I would, though.
Oh, my God.
And then 832 asked Fred if you had the anniversary Crown Royal only available in Canada. I haven't because I didn't get to make the trip in December. But I'm going to get one of my in-laws to pull me some aside for when I get up there this summer.
Nice. So,
all right. You can do the call because I can't see that far.
You got it. We got Christian. What you got for us, Christian?
Good afternoon, Josh, Jordan, and Fred Fowler.
What's up?
Look, nothing much other than sports, after all, but still, I know that y'all have been going about the weird things over the last 30 minutes or so, namely about something I can't really talk about, but still, with the next decade coming up and with Tom Brady's career on the downswing, even though people might say that he's going to play until 50, but how many Super Bowls, I mean, what are the odds that the Patriots will win probably at best two Super Bowls in the next decade?
I think the better question is whether or not Belichick stays there, because if he does, then I think they'll just keep right on rolling. They'll win a couple more at least. I mean, that's always the question, right? Is it Brady or is it Belichick? And we're going to find that out at some point. But if they both leave, then, yeah, I could see it being a long time before they ever win one.
Yeah, me too. It's, you know, will Belichick retire or not? Who knows? And have you heard the rumors about maybe, you know, Tom leaving and maybe playing for the Raiders or something like that?
Bears or something like that. Yeah, I've heard a lot of that. I don't know that I buy it. But, I mean, I guess at some point, you know, at some point you got to move on. And I don't know. I know he's not quite the player he's been in the past. He also doesn't have Gronk. He doesn't have a lot of things he's had in the past. I don't know that going and being surrounded by no talent in Oakland is going to make a huge change for him.
No.
Or, you know, okay, go to Chicago. What's that going to do for you? Do they really have more weapons around him than he has in New England?
Not really. Not a great tight end to speak of. You know, Allen Robinson's okay, I guess, but
yeah,
you know. But I do believe Gruden's probably done with Derek Carr, don't you think?
Yeah, but I mean, I'd be done with Gruden if I were them. I don't like the guy. I never have. He did a better coaching job this year than I expected, and they're still 8-8 at best.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know about that one.
I think Mayock's done a pretty good job. The Josh Jacobs draft pick worked out for him.
Yeah, he's been really good. But, you know, we'll see. I think they also made some questionable picks throughout the draft that have had mixed results, but that was a good pick, certainly. I just don't know about how much I trust Gruden running a franchise when he's trading away Khalil Mack.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Have you seen the photos of their new stadium? It looks like the Death Star.
Oh, it looks badass. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That I can't wait. We're actually going to be out there for the Fury Wilder fight, too.
Nice.
So I'm going to zip over and check out the outside of the stadium at some point.
You know, I was talking to somebody the other day that was just in Vegas, and they didn't see it. Do you know where it's kind of located in Vegas at all?
I kind of know where it is, but I don't remember seeing the construction yet. Mm-hmm. But I haven't really been seeking it out. But I'm definitely going to on this trip. I'm going to go up close and see what it looks like.
And I'm hearing you can actually like gamble from your seat. They're going to have a lot of cool things. Yeah, that'd be badass.
That will be badass. And that's the man. They have that in Europe. Like when we were at Wembley, they've actually got bookmakers on site there, which is badass.
Yeah.
Now I don't think they were open for the NFL game, but I just imagine going to a soccer game there and just gambling like a fiend, just Jerry Bowen the whole thing, playing, you know. Halftime overs and unders and stuff like that, and player props. Yeah, that dude pulls soccer out of his ass from all over the place.
He does. He'll be like, "All right, today we're going to Uruguay. This is the under 18 boys team, and then you take them and the team total over. And these guys aren't even professional soccer players. This guy's like a baker in the off season. She's like, I'm really betting on this, and then you win.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's like he what was it? He put out a play on Young Boys in Switzerland or whatever. I'm like, I'm really betting on Young Boys. This just does not sound right.
No.
But it won.
Yeah. If it wins, it wins.
Exactly. So, you know, I trust him blindly on soccer. He'll just, you know, he says something on soccer. I'm like, I'm in. What the hell?
No, me too. I'll just look and check my account and, hey, there's more money in it. What do you think about the athletes in Vegas when the team's there and you're going to see players like at the crap tables at night and it's a... You think there's ever going to be any issues with that?
Well, you already had the guy who bet a parlay against his own team for the Cardinals when he was on IR. I think that it's not going to be as big a problem as it was for the opponents of the Golden Knights. Because you're not, I don't think, if you're going in on Saturday to play a Sunday game, you know, there is going to be a curfew. You're not going to be out all night gambling. Now, maybe... You're just not going to be there that much. You're going to go in on Saturday for a Sunday game. You're going to fly out probably Sunday night. Maybe you get to go Sunday night and you fly back Monday.
Yeah.
But, no, I don't think it's going to be a huge issue. I do think for visiting teams, it maybe that's where you try to sneak out on the Saturday before and you might run into some trouble. That's what happened. That was what the adjustment was. It's one of the reasons why the Golden Knights were so good their first year. Now, here's some poor kid from Winnipeg who's been in Winnipeg all winter.
Yep.
And, oh, we get 3 days in Vegas. And by the time you get to the game, you know, they're hungover and throwing up in the back, and the Golden Knights are beating you. And, yeah, so I don't think it'll be as pronounced as that was. Because, believe me, it took teams a full year to figure out, okay, we go into Vegas the day of the game.
Yeah.
And if they want to play around after, great. But I just don't think there'll be enough time for them to do that any more than they already are. So,
and I mean, we hear that even with James Harden getting the team flight to L.A. to go a day early so he can go party in Hollywood. And you wonder how that might work with other teams and other sports.
Yeah. Football, though, they're pretty regimented in terms of how they do it. And you know, I'm not saying it's impossible, but I think I don't think it'll be a huge issue. And frankly, it's just the NFL needs to kind of come to the realization that, hey, this is reality.
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, hell, they have owners partnering with DraftKings.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you sit here and act like, oh, well, this is going to be an issue? I mean, there's always issues with gambling, just like there's issues with everything. And there's going to be somebody who does something wrong. There's going to be somebody who gambles too much.
Yeah.
And gets themselves in trouble. And that's just, you know, that's life. I mean, I hate to downplay it, but that's why I've always been so you know, I've been so clear with people. It's like, man, if you're not gambling already, don't start. You know, don't ever gamble more than your means. And I am, trust me, every mistake out there, I've made it. Late night drunk horse playing on with damn trotters and pacers and greyhounds. I've done it. Late night drunk poker online. I've done it. Chasing losses because, wow, I lost this game. I'm going to double down on a game that I didn't even care about. I've done it. I've done all that. And I've also seen so many people really, and I've seen friends' lives ruined by gambling. And I mean, there was a guy, you know, when I was out at Santa Anita a lot, there was a guy who cashed tickets. We called him a 10%er. And if you got an IRS ticket, he'd cash it for you for 10%. Mm-hmm. He was so addicted to gambling that you had to stand over his shoulder. Because if he didn't, he would gamble every bit of your money before he left the window.
Yikes.
And he really couldn't do much because what he was doing was illegal. And now I never used him. Just want to make that clear.
Sure, sure.
But I had friends who did. And they would have to go stand over his shoulder and make sure they got their money and then give him his 10%. And he would gamble every bit of it right then and there. And it's just some of them have the disease. And if you start to see signs like that, man, just stop. And I know it's hard to do. And, you know, I've seen, and that's one thing I try to pass on to people. It's like, you're not going to win all the time. Nobody wins all the time. Don't, you can't, if anybody's telling you, oh, look at my, you know, I'm 90% on this, bull bleep. Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's a grind. And if you stay disciplined and you pick the right spots and you can get in at 55, 56%, you're going to make money. And, you know, just don't do any of the stupid stuff. That's all. And trust me, I've done every stupid thing there is to do.
Oh, I've done that. Had a few drinks and then wake up the next morning and see that I was on my bookie making bets that I didn't remember making. The wife will do the drunk Amazon shopping. And then every now and then I'll fire on a game when I've had a few too many. But it's about the amount you bet, right? If you don't bet too much to where it really hurts you, then you're okay.
Well, I've not as much lately because I really don't do it anymore. Once every 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. But I'll be playing like Los Alamitos quarter horses late at night, drunk. And I'll wake up the next morning and look at my account and it's like, holy bleep, where'd all that money come from?
What happened?
Or what happened to that $700 I had in there? You know? I mean, it's one or the other.
Yep.
And it's happened both ways. And it's usually I'll go back and look. It's like, oh, wow, I bet a pick four and then I had a $10 exact. Oh, wow. Nice job. Don't remember any of it.
I was in the zone.
Yeah, boy, I must have been really sharp.
I've done that before, though, like at the blackjack table where you're just kind of hammered and sometimes you just kind of feel it and you just get in the zone and you just keep winning. It doesn't always happen, but it happens sometimes.
I've had that with poker and sometimes when I play cash in Vegas. And this, it wasn't last year, well, this year, 2019. I think it was 2018. There was one night where I basically just played all night long. It was after our last show, so I played all Friday night at Mandalay and went back to the room. By then, I'd had a bunch to drink and a little bit of weed because it had just become legal.
Mm-hmm.
And I barely remember getting back to the room, and I wake up the next morning, and there's just $100 bills all over the floor.
Nice.
And I'm like, what the hell? And so you start piecing it back together. It's like, oh, I was over at Mandalay playing poker, and I was playing a 2-5 game, and then some really drunk guy showed up, and I remember getting a bunch of his chips, and then that's all I remember. So for once, I did the smart thing and got the hell out of there with the money.
Nice.
I don't know why I did the smart thing, because I don't remember it.
I do that, too, after one of those nights where you're pulling out the receipts out of your pockets to try and retrace your steps on what happened that night.
Oh, yeah. I don't do that much anymore, but it's every now and then. Every now and then, I feel like I need to just totally screw up just to remind myself I'm still capable of it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I've gotten a lot more responsible because I don't really go out much in town anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And when I do, I get to a certain point. It's like, no, I'm going home because I'm not going to get drunk in public. And Vegas, I don't really care because Vegas.
Yeah, people know you here everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, if I show up, hey, what's up, man?
And they're buying you shots and you feel like a jerk if you don't drink it.
Well, and that's the thing. And I get that all the time. So, I want to buy you a shot. Like, no, because a shot means I'm getting drunk.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm just having a few drinks, then I'm going to get to a certain level, then I'm going to go home. And then if I'm going to drink myself into blackout, it's going to be at home. So the only person I embarrass is myself. And, you know, the only person I piss off is the wife, maybe the dog. But, you know, if I stick around, then, you know, get stupid. Jermaine asking, what are your thoughts on chicken fried steak? Overrated or good stuff? What the hell did that come from, Jermaine?
I don't know. I guess it depends on where you get it, right?
Yeah. I'm pro chicken fried steak. Although, here's some blasphemy for you. Houston does not have a lot of great chicken fried steak. Wow. We've got a lot of very average chicken fried steak. There's some good ones, but as a whole, not great.
So. Man, I haven't had one in so long. It's been forever. But they're good, man. That's a filling meal, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, I mean, I can't eat it very often because it's like 10 million calories.
Yeah, and comes with mashed potatoes and gravy. And
Yep. Yeah. All the healthy stuff.
Yeah. It's delicious, though.
Guess what? We got Aggie football coming up next. Harrison, you survived. You know, a few slip-ups, but that's okay. Considering first time doing the show and that you'd never heard of Gym of the Day, which, I mean, shame bell for you on that. But other than that, you know, I thought you did pretty well.
No, he's filled in with us before. He does a really nice job.
Yeah, but that's you guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's Moneyline, which you can tune into on Sundays with Jerry Bowe and Josh Jordan. And
10 to noon.
10 to noon. Make sure you check them out. I try to, if I have errands to run, I always try to make sure I'm listening about that time. All right, so Josh, A+.
Appreciate it, bud.
And I'm going to give Harrison a solid B. You know, I mean, he kind of rallied. It was a C-, but he got it up to a B.
Yeah, he crammed for the final.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe if there's a professor, he can sleep with a professor and get it up to an A, but it ain't me. And, yeah, I'm going to give myself a solid D- for today.
D-, I'm going A for you, Fred.
No. I mean, I mean, for me, that's good.
That's good.
I mean, that's a really good grade for me. But, all right, so do we have some outro music here, or am I going to have to knock you down to a B-? How much time do we have left? 30 seconds. Okay. All right. Hey, I hope everybody has an awesome weekend. I hope you guys had a great Christmas. And keep it rolling. If you're not working, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football. Enjoy your Texans on Sunday. When we come back Monday, then hopefully Hoffman will be back.
Yeah.
I would say it's about 50-50, though. But hopefully he'll be back. We'll be out early that day for Aggie basketball. No blitz on Tuesday. No blitz on Wednesday. And Thursday, Friday will be the same as this week, but we'll have full shows. All right. That is going to wrap it up. Till tomorrow, or till Monday. Stay sports, you bitches.